runes, BRC20s, ordinals. These have been a hot topic over the past year and really changed the way that people interact with Bitcoin the network and BTC the asset, whether it's for quasi-fungible tokens or digital collectibles. And one protocol that hasn't been in the spotlight as much but has a lot of overlap with these previous things is Taproot Assets. And one of the big reasons for that is because they've been heads down building. The protocol is live on mainnet on the L1, but hasn't supported Lightning until soon, coming soon. And so I wanted to get on one of the leaders in the Taproot asset space, building out one of the better wallet implementations with Jolt Rewards. And so this conversation is with Lyndon Stark, the CTO of Jolt Rewards, and we discussed a ton of topics around Taproot assets, how they compare to runes, and how these protocols work, what can we expect, where's the trust assumptions, a bunch of topics. So without further ado, I bring you this excellent conversation with Lyndon Stark, the CTO of Jolt Rewards.
Welcome to Built on Bitcoin.
Lyndon, how you doing there, my man?
Doing great. How about you?
I am very good, very good. Excited to chat because you guys are in one of the more interesting verticals out there that doesn't get enough love, honestly, which is Taproot assets. And Lightning is kind of a it's going through some growing pains right now as far as like not just the network but also people's attention of it. Like everyone's kind of like whoa about Lightning right now, which I think is unwarranted.
A lot of usability problems for sure.
Yep. So that's the topic today. I think there's a lot to talk about. So I'd love to just jump right in the deep end. You know, give me the landscape right now, kind of an overview, because there's so much attention on L1, meta protocols, runes, BRC20, fungible assets on Bitcoin are here now. So like, why do we need Taproot assets? These kind of questions. So just to level set, help me understand if you could kind of like comparing some of these broad things, then we can go deeper as we go along. So like fungible tokens on Bitcoin aren't real. They're just Satoshis.
Yep.
And then through the Ord client, you can have these quasi-fungible things like BRC20 and runes to be coming. And then you have Taproot assets, which is currently live on mainnet, is my understanding, for the
it is, yeah,
things. And Lightning coming soon. So like, let's just bracket to make sure everyone has a clear picture of like what each of these things are very briefly and kind of like an overview of each.
Sure. So we have ordinals, which is, you know, the basic non-fungibles out there. They use somewhat of a bug in Taproot so they can stuff as much data as they want into transactions, which is an interesting approach. I'm surprised it's still, you know, operating today, given there's been so much pushback from the people developing Bitcoin Core. There's BRC20s, which is another protocol, a layer three, if you will, on top of inscriptions, which is a very, you know, simple protocol. I mean, it gets the job done, but it's definitely hit a lot of scaling issues because of the lack of, you know, batching, the lack of Lightning support, and the lack of, you know, burns. I mean, it's a very simple protocol. I think it has only three features.
Yep. And then the last two that at least are currently in the mix are runes, which I saw the docs were just, we're recording this on the 28th. Casey dropped the docs last night, so I'm not sure if you've had time to, you know, be at the bleeding edge, and then Taproot assets.
Yep, I skimmed through them. They look interesting. I mean, having batch support is great. The main flaw is indexing. The problem with ordinals and BRC20s, some extent, is that you have to pretty much index every single UTXO in order to track those sats, which is very, very computationally expensive. Like when I synced my ordinals node and my Bitcoin full node, it took about 30 hours on a very nice, you know, server, which, you know, you're not going to be able to get clients to do that. You know, consumers are not going to set up an always available machine to sync to that.
Yep, makes sense. And then what about Taproot assets? Give us the high level overview there.
High level of Taproot assets is just putting the signatures on chain, and then we rely on a proof-based structure off-chain. It's actually somewhat similar to Stacks, which I know you've talked about quite a bit on your podcast, except the validation's done by the client, not by, nodes in the case of Stacks.
Okay. So you've already opened up some interesting can of worms, because even small things like the Ordinals leverages a bug in TypeScript, which is like, even your word choice is like, that puts you slightly in the filterer camp, because obviously it's kind of like, a lot of us will be like, value is subjective, a bug is subjective. So yeah, let's start there with, let's just touch on Ordinals for a second. Yeah, give me your view. Like, what do you think about Ordinals at a high level, like how people are using it and how it's constructed?
I like ordinals. I think it's an interesting thing to do, and it, brings up an important conversation about, Bitcoin leadership, how far we're going to be able to go with just devs making the decisions here. I think the bug should be patched, and people who do make ordinals or inscriptions should have to pay their fair share for uploading stuff to Bitcoin. Because right now they're getting, the SegWit discount, which, incentivized people to move over to SegWit with the goal of things being smaller. And really, they're doing the opposite. So anyway, my take is really they should be able to do it, but they should pay their fair share.
Got
Meta
it.
protocols as a whole really are kind of exploiting Bitcoin to some definition. They're doing things that were not intended when Bitcoin was created.
Okay. I'm gonna stop myself from going down this can of worms, getting into a whole debate around filtering. We'll save that for another day. So we got ordinals, and that's like putting data on chain different ways, and it's what allowed BRC20, which is, doing these kind of like JSON pieces of code that then indexed in a correct way can give you quasi-fungible tokens. And as you mentioned, like, they do three main functions, which just make sure the main functions are mint, transfer, and is there another one?
And
What am I missing?
deploy, I think.
Yep, so deploy ticker, mint, one of the fungible tokens of that. And then transfer. And these are all separate transactions. And one of the words that you mentioned was batch support. So I'm assuming that BRC20, and I'm gonna play dumb here, so this could be like an entry level podcast
Course.
for this topic. So BRC20 doesn't support batching, is what you're saying. So you have to, yeah, I know. What's your thoughts there?
Doesn't support batching, so you end up with, a lot of blocks filled up with, transfers that are only sending about 1,000 sats, which at scale is not great unless Bitcoin did increase their block size, then it would be more realistic, but that's something that's not very likely to happen.
Got it. And so with proper batching, you can do a bunch of different transfers, and on chain, it's just one UTXO moving or one transaction being sent, and you can do a bunch in that one thing. So you can make up 1,000 pieces of actions condense into one transaction.
Yep, exactly. The point is just, have as small as an on-chain footprint as possible, which is a lot of the goals around Taproot assets. I think they've seen what BRC20s are doing and thought to themselves, how can we do this in a way that doesn't hurt the people that are, operating nodes, using Bitcoin normally, that kind of thing.
Yep. Okay. And yeah, I've heard there's some upgrades coming to BRC20, but we'll see how that shakes out with I think it's called OPI, Open Protocol Indexer or something. Okay. And then you have these two other standards. You have Taproot Assets and you have Runes. Runes is the hot topic right now. Everyone's talking about Runes, launching around the halving. Let's click on Runes a little bit more about,
Runes,
so
okay.
for one, does that support batching? And maybe a good place to differentiate here, because everyone's talking about runes, and I want to understand, for people to understand, these two different standards with runes coming out and Taproot Assets, currently in development and maybe for that coming soon. I think it really be helpful here is to like really compare and contrast runes and then Taproot Assets on the other side. So like let's get in the weeds here about what's similar or what's a pro for both of these, like batching, as you mentioned, and what's a con or like a benefit to either one, runes and Taproot assets, and we can start however you want to start.
Sure. So I think a pro with runes is that the complexity is fairly low. It's a fairly simple protocol. And the biggest con would be scaling, because we have the same issue with indexing. You got to index pretty much every coin for it to work. So there's no way you could really do a light client like Taproot Assets is really focused on. When you're unable to validate things without, you know, 10 hours of compute running through, you end up with a very centralized environment where everyone's depending on, you know, a central index. I think a lot of that's happened in the Stacks community that we've seen as well. You know, that's where we both pretty much started out.
Yep.
Everyone just relies on the Heroes central node just because it's difficult to get started in it.
Totally. Yeah, I've been trying to run on myself, and it's definitely a headache. Although I've heard on the node side, Bitcoin Core is really easy to run. Like, it's amazing how optimized Core is. It from things I've heard, running Ord is not super difficult either. There's some storage issues there, but running it's not super hard. Do you have a pulse on that?
When I first tried to run it, I tried to run it in the early days. I actually wrote my own indexer because I had so much trouble running Ord itself. Ord just kept crashing after about the 9 hour mark. I think a lot of that's been resolved now. But back when I tried, it was not the best experience.
And when was this? Were you like at the beginning, like in the February, March of last year days or what?
Very beginning. I think as soon as Casey tweeted about it.
And when you say complexity, so the one of the big differentiators here is ease of development for runes versus Taproot assets because, and I'm not a dev, so runes, yeah. I'm guessing, is just you're doing it in either Bitcoin script or in Rust, and Taproot assets is something else. Help me understand.
Sure. So for runes, you use the op return of the transaction to store basic information like what the token's called, what the quantity is, and which output of the transaction you're assigning the rune to. And with Taproot assets, it's completely different. You create, you know, a Merkle sparse sum tree, and then you get a signature from that, and then you put that signature on chain, and then you upload it to a universe so that proof is stored. It's a much more complicated approach, but it's a lot more scalable.
Got it. You just said Merkle sparse what tree?
Merkle, I'm going to mess up the acronym. It's MSSMT. They went with some names that I'm not a fan of. Yeah, it's funny in the Taproot assets community. It's either a very long acronym or some sort of metaphor for fruit because it was taro originally. So everything internally is like freighter, seedling, sprout. It's a very, very interesting model.
Yeah, this Merkle tree thing is like, this is something that came with Taproot, with something with TapScript and with, I think it's called Mast, I believe is the thing that was pushed in there. And yeah, I mean, honestly, this seems to me from my kind of like outsider view is like where a lot of the development or bleeding edge of Bitcoin currently is. It's kind of in this Merkle tree and like script path environment. Mm-hmm. It makes me think of like the early days of AI was like you had AI prompt engineers, like we have Bitcoin devs, but we just need like Merkle engineers that just focus on this Merkle sparse tree thing to squeeze the life out of it.
Yeah, definitely trying to just squeeze as much as we can out of Taproot. I think Taproot assets' goals are very aligned with that.
Yep. So one pro and con here, or one benefit to runes is ease for the developer because op return and Bitcoin script is much easier to work with. Do you get, typically when you get complexity, hopefully you get more features. So is there feature parity in these two, or is there more on Taproot assets here?
I've only skimmed, you know, the docs on runes since it's very early. I don't think any implementation is out. The features are a lot more aligned than per se BRC20 or ordinals. They're much more aligned than that. I think they're trying to solve a lot of the same problems. They're just going about it in a different way. Runes is definitely interesting. I think a lot of people are going to use it because of the complexity, but I think in the longer term, when the mempool is full, there's only going to be one option.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And it does seem like, because runes is a fungible token standard, so it's meant to be that. And then you have ordinals, which is more of the NFT or digital artifact, as they say, side. Tapper Assets does both in one, though, right? You can do fungibles or collectible, like NFTs, or is collectibles on Tapper Assets something besides like what we think of as an NFT?
The only thing that's special about collectibles on Tapper Assets is that they're enforced to be one of ones. That's pretty standard, though. That's the only thing that differentiates it from a token. With Tapper Assets, I will say you can have as much data as you want since it's not stored on-chain. And you don't really have to pay for it besides, you know, standard storage fees.
Yep. Okay. And then, so do you have a, speaking of this kind of off-chain storage, that's one benefit people say of ordinals is that it's being stored on nodes, which is why it's so expensive. So do you have a data availability benefit to runes where, because it's running on Ord, which there's a ton of indexers and it's connected to the L1 in some way, Tapper Assets takes kind of a negative point here because of people have to hold their own data, or am I wrong here?
I would say it's a lot more comparable considering the pain in hosting a universe is very minimal. You just need to be federated with somebody that knows about the transfer and then you're good to go. With indexers, as I mentioned a couple times, is that they're very expensive to run, very expensive to sync, and you can't really do what we call like a pocket universe, which is a universe that runs on the client. You can't really do a pocket indexer unless they change the protocol.
Got it. Yeah, this is one of those things too where like I'm running a node now. I've been in Bitcoin almost 3 years now. And like this is a new development for me. I'm finally growing up and running a node.
Nice.
Most people don't though. Most people just use whatever, you know, APIs the wallets hit, and they trust whatever those people syncing are. So is there any kind of, I don't know what the right question is here, of like there's certain trust assumptions on L1 that we just assume there's enough infra there that it's just going to work, redundancy, etc. And it seems like there's some unknown unknowns or even some known unknowns on Lightning side about how redundant or safe the data is and kind of like all the edge cases.
You did touch on something interesting there that I do want to expand a bit more. Are you talking about how wallets, you know, they always depend on central trusted resources as well? I mean, even Bitcoin wallets, for the most part, depend on central resources. Leather wallet, Moon wallet, all the major wallets in the space depend on just RPC. Something we're doing with Jolt's wallet is writing Neutrino, which is a light client spec, to work in the browser. You don't actually have to depend on an RPC. I would say that's actually the largest component of the wallet time-wise that's taken, is just having pretty much the equivalent of a full Bitcoin node in the browser. A lot of complexities around that.
Interesting. Okay, that might be a good segue then, because we've talked a lot about different angles of Tapper Assets, but you guys are building a specific thing with Jolt. Mm-hmm. And unless you guys have pivoted, you're doing two things. You're doing loyalty rewards, which is like, you can think of it as like sats back is the easiest way to think about it. So like I spend $100 on Amazon or shop with my store, and then a button shows up and I can get 10% back in Bitcoin rewards, and it becomes like a loyalty or like incentive for me to shop at that store. And you guys do a lot of the back end infra to make that easy for me to implement as a store. That's one you guys are doing, right?
Yep. And another component of that is our API. So we allow people to just reward for any event that you want. Like one good customer we have is Saz Mining. They do Bitcoin mining nodes, and what they send rewards for is actually people referring to use Saz Mining as a platform. So they use our platform to send out that Bitcoin reward, display a dashboard, and just the basic tracking of like referral events.
Yep. Okay. So yeah, as a application builder, I can plug in your API and you can subtract away a lot of the complexity. And I remember correctly, you guys are doing, to make the onboarding as easy as possible, it's custodial for like the first part of it. You just spin up an account, you get your sats from the LSP or central service, but you can always send out to whoever you want whenever you need to.
Yeah, so basically you send a reward to an email, and with that email we create a custodial wallet that holds those points until the user eventually goes onto that custodial wallet and withdraws via Lightning.
Got it. And what's the biggest, before we get to the other side of the Tapper Assets idea as a ability, what's the killer features or the biggest use cases you're seeing with the loyalty side of what you guys are doing?
Versus other, you know, loyalty companies, I think the biggest thing we see is that we allow people to do whatever they want for loyalty rewards. It's not just the simple, you make a purchase, you get sats back. It could be any event, really. Like, we're working with a gym right now that they want to reward people with sats every time they go into the gym, sort of like a proof of work. And they use our API for that.
Got it. That's pretty clever, because you could definitely be like, you pay your monthly fee and then you pay a little extra, but you can get it back the more you come, kind of thing. Like, I can see how you can kind of
exemplify,
as you said, proof of work in the gym. That's clever. Okay. And then the other thing you guys have been working on for a while is the Tapper asset side. So yeah, what are you guys working on there?
We're working on a trustless, non-custodial Tapper assets wallet that is all in the browser. We're not focusing that as much on loyalty, although we do plan on using it for loyalty points specifically. We're just trying to, you know, build something that the ecosystem very clearly needs. And due to the complexity, we don't think we're really going to see something like it for quite a while otherwise.
You used all the big words. So I think you said trustless, non-custodial, Tapper assets wallet. What's the thing that the ecosystem is needing? So is it a way to interact with the protocol to be able to deploy, mint, transfer, etc.?
I think it's two core things. One I touched on earlier being all the Bitcoin wallets depend on RPC. So in a way, they're kind of dependent on a central resource. That's a need that we're fulfilling for loyalty. And the second one is that right now you just have TapD, which is a daemon similar to LND. You can only really interact with it if, you know, you're in a terminal, which consumers are never going to really do. So our goal is just to make it, we want to send you a Taproot asset. You click a link, you instantly have your wallet with your Taproot asset all stored on your device. Nothing trusted to us.
Okay. And so the use cases for this are the same that someone is going to be doing an Ordinals thing or a Ruins thing? Do they have overlap?
Yeah, they definitely do. One thing we've talked about a lot is actually bridging from Ordinals or Ruins to Taproot assets just for our wallet. We really do want to support, you know, any use case out there. We're open to pretty much anything. We're not like Bitcoin maxis that are going to stop you from doing what you want to do.
Yeah. Actually, this is something I remember hearing Casey say. He gave a speech in Singapore. I watched the live stream, and one thing he said was that runes will be electric. That's the word he used. And he used it in the term that the runes UTXO can be lifted onto the Lightning Network. So this topic of bridging, what's the bleeding edge here? Like, is there anybody doing this where, like, you can put runes or ordinals on Lightning, or maybe vice versa, where you can do Taproot assets and bring them down to the L1 for some reason?
I would say the easiest way to go about it would be to bridge things to Taproot assets, considering, you know, Lightning Labs is the company behind Taproot assets. They kind of have an advantage on getting things, you know, built out into Lightning, considering LND, I believe, is like 98% of the market at this point. It's, you know, really dominates the space. Runes, moving into Lightning, I think implementing another protocol that also has some impact on Lightning, I think will be challenging. I haven't heard too much about that.
Got it. So no one that you're aware of is doing the runes into Taproot assets kind of stuff yet?
Not yet, no, but I mean, I'd like to. It shouldn't be super complex versus, you know, some of the other stuff we're doing, like Neutrino on the browser is definitely much more complicated and takes more of a sidebar.
Yeah, that sounds like a heavy lift. Is Neutrino, like, people hear terms and they kind of have to piece them together in real time. So, like, when you mentioned that Utrino is like a light client in the browser that you're running locally and doing some kind of verification, the closest alternative that's currently in the common narrative is RGB. So is there some overlap here of kind of what RGB is doing and what Neutrino is doing in the background?
Neutrino is more just for on-chain Bitcoin. I think RGB is going to have the same problems building out a wallet if they want to have, you know, like a trustless source. It's mainly just on like the on-chain Bitcoin part. Taproot Assets definitely does have a lot of overlap with RGB, for sure. I know there's been some accusations that Taproot Assets is stolen a little bit, something like that. I am hesitant to believe that, given it's a good idea. Multiple people can have similar ideas.
Yeah. I mean, because client-side validation or like light clients, like all these things about like verify, don't trust, it's all just kind of the same paradigm.
It is, yeah. I mean, hopefully nobody's accusing RGB from stealing from Stacks, you know?
Yeah. What's the current state of Taproot Assets and this Jolt wallet? Because, like, as I mentioned, like, it's on L1 technically. So, like, using it right now kind of feels like closer to what you're just sending a Bitcoin transaction. You don't get the full benefits of Lightning, per se, right now.
Not yet, no.
So where are we at with the bleeding edge of like being able to use this stuff as just an end user?
Right now with Jolt's wallet, you can mint assets, and we're working on doing batching and transfers in our next release. And the next component, you know, if you think of the ecosystem as, you know, a circle, a life cycle is a marketplace, which we may provide in the future.
Nice. That'd be big. Where could people go to play with this if they want to try it out?
Wallet.jolts.app.
Wallet.jolts.app. Okay.
Ran on jolts.com soon, though.
Cool. Man, I don't think we covered a lot here. Make sure I didn't miss anything.
I could talk a bit about how Taproot Assets is currently being used, because there has been, you know, some liquidity in the market already. This early on.
Sure.
I think the biggest one right now is TNA. They're doing domain names on Taproot Assets, and they've raised about $800,000 just off, I believe, 8 domain names, which is big for the ecosystem being so early as it is.
Wait, so what does that look like then? So you said domain names on Taproot Assets. What's the use case here? Like, I buy a domain name, but like a domain name as we currently use it is like a resolver for something on the web. So like what's the angle here?
The idea is similar to a system like BNS on Stacks, where you buy a domain name, you attach it to your identity in a way, and then somebody can send you money through money, assets, whatever, through that address.
I see. So the potential angle here is, you know, we have Lightning address, for example, which makes sending to people much simpler. I can just go, you know, send sats to builds on Bitcoin at getmash.com, for example. And but the getmash.com is a centralized entity in that regard. So is this, is what you're saying is this could be used for that same similar functionality, but more decentralized?
Yeah, same function, but decentralized.
Got it. Interesting. That's pretty cool. Okay. Anything else?
Hopefully Lightning payments like that, though, that'd be very interesting.
Yeah.
Because it is unfortunate that Lightning addresses are all, you know, centralized.
Yep. Anything else you're seeing on your side?
No, check out Jolt's wallet. I mean, any updates, we'll post on Twitter, at Jolt's Rewards.
Is there any timeline for when you see either the Lightning Lab stuff going live for channels or... And I'm assuming you just have to wait till that stuff's live that you guys can make any progress, right?
We could do a decent amount without channels because of how Taproot Assets aggregation works on chain. If we manage to aggregate everybody's transactions into one and the block time's about 10 minutes, that's a pretty good alternative to Lightning for, you know, a decent amount of time, at least with our customers.
Got it.
Lightning channels, though, from my understanding, should only be about a month out, hopefully.
Yeah. When soon?
It'll be an interesting thing for us to implement because we have to implement a submarine swap type system because we can't do the availability of lightning. It becomes an interesting technical challenge for the browser specifically.
What do you mean by availability?
Lightning requires you're always online, but with a browser, you could click off the tab, close your tab. You're not always going to have Wi-Fi, etc. So we need to build a system where users can rely on a node to provide that availability. Most common way to do that is through submarine swaps, like on Moon, for example.
Got it. And do you lose, is there a cost and efficiency there? Because does that mean you have to do an on-chain transaction?
Theoretically, I mean, that's what Moon does, but we're planning on doing something a bit more novel with Taproot assets. So a more complicated system, which we plan on publishing right up on as soon as Taproot asset channels are out.
Got it. Okay. I think it's most of my questions, but one did just come to mind, which is, and you could tell me if this is true or not, but one of the common criticisms of Lightning is liquidity, channel liquidity, you know, inbound, outbound. And I heard that you don't have a lot of that complexity with Taproot assets because you're just carrying metadata technically. So like you can carry less, you can carry a lot of value on less sats with Taproot assets. Is that true?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, with Taproot assets, say I have a token, I have a USD token, and I want to send it to another person via Lightning. I would first convert it into its value, its underlying value in sats, and then send it through, Taproot channels. So it would still be like equivalent to the amount that the token is worth. It's not really a loophole or anything like that around liquidity management, unfortunately.
Outside of Taproot, Taproot assets, or maybe even Lightning, what is most interesting to you right now in the current dialogue?
I think just what people use ordinals for, I think it's very interesting to see all the different use cases so early on, especially on a protocol that wasn't really, thought to be as big it is as it is nowadays. I think it was more like a toy project that blew up.
Yep. Okay. Cool. Well, man, this has been great. I'm excited to see how Taproot evolves. I think I remember they announced Taro almost 2 years ago now at Bitcoin Miami. So talk about a long time coming. So we're almost there now to experience this on, Lightning Rails. Yeah, give us the obligatory links. Like people hearing this, they want to get involved. Where can they go?
I think the best resources right now would probably be, Lightning Labs' website. They publish docs, Lightning Labs' YouTube channel. They show videos if you're interested in using TAPD, the more technical side of it. And of course, our Twitter for updates around Jolts, updates around the wallet.
Perfect. And I'll have all those links down below. Make it easy for you guys. Not have to work hard to go to this stuff.
Thank you.
But cool, man. Brendan, thanks for coming on, man. It's been great.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for the time.
Thank you for listening this far into the episode. If you found it enjoyable, please do like, subscribe on whatever platform that you're listening on. YouTube does me a huge favor to like and subscribe. Find me on Twitter at JakeBlockchain. Show me some love. I reply to every DM. And if you are a Bitcoin builder that is kind of at the forefront of building new use cases, whether it's L1, Lightning, Stacks, Rootstock, Rollups, Ordinals, BRC20, I want to talk to you. So when I'm not doing this podcast, I am the sourcing partner at the Bitcoin Frontier Fund, where we invest in Bitcoin startups at the earliest stages, give you access to whatever you need, whether it's legal, product, fundraising help, as well as capital. So, love to talk to you. You can hit me up again. Find me on Twitter at JakeBlockchain and shoot me a DM. I'll read everything. Love to talk to you guys. All right, peace.
Welcome to Built on Bitcoin.
I know that things don't always go your way. I'll be right here waiting.
I've been waiting now. I've been trying to figure out a way to make it out. Make it out, 'cause I don't think about.